This is the Jefferson Exchange on JPR. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We've gotten used to reports of earthquakes in Oklahoma and other places in the middle of the country, but these are not places that are typically home to lots of seismic activity. That activity has become much more frequent as there's been an increase in drilling activity by the petroleum industry. If there's any doubt left in your mind, our next guest seeks to dispel that doubt with the very title of his talk scheduled for Friday evening in Coos Bay. Dr. Justin Rubenstein calls his talk, "Yes, Humans Really Are Causing Earthquakes!" That talk is set for Friday at 7 at the Hale Center for Performing Arts at Southwestern Oregon Community College in Coos Bay. Dr. Justin Rubenstein is deputy chief of the Induced Seismicity Project at the U.S. Geological Survey in Menlo Park, California. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
How long has there been such a thing as an induced seismicity project?
The USGS has an induced seismicity project for the past 4 or 5 years, and this is really in response to the dramatic rise in seismicity that we've seen not only in Oklahoma, but in many parts of the central United States.
So prior to the creation of the induced seismicity project, I mean, was there a consensus among scientists that human activities could cause earthquakes?
Sure. We've actually known about human-caused earthquakes going back to the late 1890s when there were some small earthquakes in Johannesburg caused by mining activities.
All right. So it has happened in many parts of the world and certainly can.
Yeah, that's right. What we've seen in Oklahoma, though, really is unique in that we've seen just this incredible swarm of seismicity there. And while it is starting to abate, the earthquake rate in Oklahoma still is higher than what we see in California.
Wow, which was not the case just a few years ago, right?
Yeah, that's right. It surpassed California in 2014 with over 500 earthquakes of magnitude 3 and larger.
So before we talk about the operations that produce this seismicity, let's talk about what lies beneath. I mean, is Oklahoma the kind of place where something geologically makes it more likely to reverberate with the human activities?
Well, Oklahoma, like just about everywhere else in the world, is littered with faults. And while these faults were not active just because there's very little tectonic accumulation of strain at the moment, these faults have some strain available to be released. And it's just these human activities that have caused the earthquakes that we're seeing. And so you're going to see faults just about everywhere. They just aren't active at the moment.
Are they more likely to be active if they are closer to the edge of a plate? I mean, we're talking Oklahoma right smack in the middle of the North American plate, isn't it?
Correct, yeah. Faults are more likely to be active when they're close to a plate boundary, and that's because there's movement along that plate boundary. There's strain accumulation. And while you're in the middle of the plate, there really is no activity. There is no strain that's being built up.
So, Justin, let's talk about the operations that are going on, the kinds of oil and gas operations that are producing seismicity. What's going on there?
Well, the real cause of these earthquakes is a process that's known as wastewater disposal. Now, what's happening in the oil and gas process is when you extract oil, there's salt water that comes up with it. And that's just because the salt water is trapped in the same formation as the oil and gas. And in Oklahoma, they've been producing some very what's known as wet oil, which is oil where there's far more salt water than there is oil per barrel. And so you have to dispose of this salt water, and oftentimes what they'll do is drill a deeper well and start injecting that salt water. And what we see happening in Oklahoma is that this salt water is finding its way into what's known as the crystalline basement, so the very hard rocks about 1 to 2 miles beneath the earth, beneath the surface of the earth in Oklahoma. And these find their way into faults and in some sense lubricate them, making them more likely to have earthquakes.
Interesting. So these are fairly dry formations until the salt water was sent down there and all of a sudden things start moving around all slippery-like?
Well, these formations already had water in them, but you've raised the fluid pressure. You've added more fluid. And so that makes it more likely for these earthquakes to occur.
When you talk about the wet oil, I mean, what are some of the ratios we're talking about of water to oil as they pull them out of these wells?
You can even see ratios as high as 20 parts water to 1 part oil. We're seeing operators in Oklahoma and Kansas starting to turn away from these sorts of plays just because, especially with the price of oil being depressed, it's not economical for them to be producing these formations.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, if people are spending $4 a gallon for gasoline, then it makes it worth your while. But when it's sub $3, it's a different kind of set of economics.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm still kind of intrigued about the whole idea of the salt water. What is it that makes that water salty?
Oil is more or less the decomposed biological components of relict oceans. And so you've got this oil sitting there, and you still have the salt water that went along with it. And so that's where the salt water is coming from.
Wow. Okay. So we're talking to Dr. Justin Rubenstein, Deputy Chief of the Induced Seismicity Project of the U.S. Geological Survey. He's based in Menlo Park, California. His talk will be at the Hale Center for Performing Arts at Southwestern Oregon Community College in Coos Bay. That's SWOC. Friday night at 7, entitled, Yes, Humans Really Are Causing Earthquakes. Now, I want to be clear on this because you are apparently in your own work. It is not the actual fracking operations to loosen up the oil or gas that's causing seismicity, at least most of it?
That's correct. I would really say hydraulic fracturing is more an indirect cause, in that the big change in oil and gas operations that's really led to this massive increase in saltwater disposal is really different techniques in the drilling operations, where they're now able to steer wells much better, and they're able to go into these very narrow formations by drilling horizontally. And now it's economical, or at least it was a few years ago, to produce these formations where the ratios of oil to gas are very, very low.
I suppose on one level you might be able to give the people exploring for oil and gas some credit for putting the salt water back, but they're putting it back where it belongs?
Well, generally they're going to be disposing it into a different formation. And in Oklahoma, they're disposing into a formation that's known as the Arbuckle Group. But in some cases, and this is actually a very old practice, they'll actually re-inject into the same reservoir that they're extracting the oil and gas from originally. Now, that's turned out not to be the best way to continue production in Oklahoma, and that's because there's already a problem with there being too much salt water. And so that's really why they want to dispose of it into a different formation.
I know we're talking generally about geology and seismicity. Are there any particular regulations that you're aware of on what they are supposed to do with the salt water that comes out?
Well, Oklahoma has begun to respond to this seismicity going back to as early as 2013. There's no specific regulations on what formation they can or cannot inject into, except that there can't be connection to drinking water reservoirs, for example. And they also cannot be injecting into the crystalline basement that I was talking about, this hard rock and where the earthquakes are actually occurring. They've also placed caps on the amount that can be injected into any individual well.
So how big is the crystalline basement formation, and how easy to avoid it?
Well, the crystalline basement is more or less the competent rock that we see, at least in Oklahoma, at about a mile and a half, 2 miles deep, and it's anything below that is going to be what we consider the crystalline basement. And as far as avoiding that formation, it would just be a matter of drilling, not drilling your well all the way that deep. It's not particularly difficult.
Wow, there's so many things about this that are really interesting on so many levels. The idea of injecting certainly indicates that there's some pressure involved. Is there often?
Actually, in fact, most of these wells are not injecting under pressure at all. They're more or less pouring the water down the well. And that's because these formations are what's called underpressured, in that the fluid pressure is not actually equilibrated to what it more or less should be, or the weight of the rocks above it. And so they're just able to pour it down the well. But just by the fact of adding water, you are increasing the pressure within that formation.
Is there any other option about what to do with the water? I mean, settling ponds on the surface or any other use of it, or are they doing essentially the correct thing hydrologically, geologically, by putting it back in the ground?
Economically, it's really the only solution. It is possible to clean this water, but my conversations with industry experts say that costs about $100 a barrel per barrel of salt water. Keep in mind the price of oil is about $40 or $50 a barrel, and so you'd be spending far more money disposing of this salt water than you would actually make on any barrel of oil. There's also there is an opportunity to put these into evaporation ponds, things like that. But the scale of this problem is far too big. They're disposing of millions and millions of barrels of salt water every day. And to put things in perspective, a barrel is 42 gallons, or it's twice the size of a beer keg.
Wow. So that is a lot of water. The whole process, this and it's not injection again. You say it's mostly just letting it go back into the ground. You were talking about approaching people in the petroleum industry to talk about this, and I wonder how wary they were of seismologists about the time you showed up.
I would really say that our relationship with industry has dramatically changed over the past 6 or 7 years. Industry was really in full-on denial mode. They denied that induced seismicity existed, and they obviously denied that they were causing any earthquakes. And over the past few years, I would really say industry has turned a corner, and just about all of the majors and even the mid-majors really agree that induced seismicity does exist and that fluid injection is what's causing it. And a number of these companies are really actually taking efforts to try to mitigate seismicity, either by changing their injection practices. A lot of them are monitoring seismicity with their own private seismic networks. So they really are trying to take on this problem because it's bad for business, fundamentally.
Dr. Justin Rubenstein is a seismologist and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the deputy chief of the Induced Seismicity Project at the U.S. Geological Survey in Menlo Park. We're talking about humans causing earthquakes. His talk is called Yes, Humans Really Are Causing Earthquakes, Friday night at 7 at the Hale Center in Coos Bay. You can join us now at 800-838-3760 over the phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So since people have noticed, since the big players in the petroleum industry have agreed there is induced seismicity, has there been less of it?
Yes, the seismicity has really dramatically declined in Oklahoma over the past few years. It peaked in 2015 with over 900 magnitude 3 and larger earthquakes, and last year we saw less than 500. So it really has been on the decline. Worth pointing out, though, in 2016 we saw the largest number of moderate magnitude or larger earthquakes. We saw 3 magnitude 5 and larger earthquakes, including the largest historical earthquake in Oklahoma, magnitude 5.8 near Pawnee, Oklahoma. So while we're seeing the earthquake rate going down, there's still the possibility of producing damaging earthquakes.
Have the earthquakes you mentioned, some 3+ and now some 5+, has there been any damage from all this?
There has been some damage. There have been some injuries related to these earthquakes. Fortunately, the larger earthquakes really have occurred outside of major population centers. And in fact, the earthquake that caused the most damage was a magnitude 5, and we've seen a 5.1, a 5.7, and a 5.8. And that's because that earthquake was close to the largest city, is the city of Cushing, which is about 35,000 people. The rest of the earthquakes have occurred in very rural areas. So we haven't seen much damage, but I would really say that we've been fortunate because these earthquakes haven't occurred near the larger population centers of Oklahoma City or Tulsa.
Well, the name of that city alone, though, should prick up some ears, because Cushing, Oklahoma is one of the major oil storage parts of the country, isn't it?
That's right. Cushing calls itself the pipeline crossroads of the world, and I think it's about 30% of the United States oil storage capacity. So it is a very important piece of the United States' infrastructure, and the operators in the area, the storage operators, are taking this problem very seriously.
How big an area are we talking about affecting here then, Dr. Rubenstein? I mean, are we talking 10 square miles, 100 square miles, 1,000, something like that?
For any individual earthquake or the area that's seeing this seismicity?
The general cluster of seismicity.
Oh, the seismicity goes from about Oklahoma City all the way into southern Kansas, so we're probably talking 200 or 300 miles north to south, and then maybe 100, 150 miles east to west. So it's a really large area.
Is there any concern that lots of little events could lead to any major event? Is there any geological, seismological belief of that?
Well, that's really something that we're investigating. Certainly some people believe that for these earthquakes in particular, you get some sort of precursory signal where you have a ramping up of seismicity leading to larger earthquakes. But I think that's a question that is still unresolved, and that's actually a question that I'm working on specifically.
You mentioned that that human-caused earthquakes first became a known thing with mining in South Africa in the 1890s. There are some other things that can cause seismicity, aren't there?
Oh, yeah, of course. There's a number of human activities that have caused earthquakes. Mining is obviously one of them. Fluid injection is another. We've also seen earthquakes related to the filling of reservoirs. If you look at the filling of Lake Mead in the 1930s, they started to see some earthquakes. Fortunately, only about a magnitude 3 to 3.5, but they saw earthquakes being caused by that. Other oil and gas operations have been linked to earthquakes just from the extraction of oil has been linked to earthquakes as large as magnitude 7 in the late 1970s and 1980s in Uzbekistan. So there are a number of human activities that have been seen to cause earthquakes.
I was going to ask about that particular thing. So taking things out of the ground, removing a layer of stuff, liquid or semi-liquid, is going to cause potentially some movement itself.
It can cause earthquakes, but obviously given the amount of oil extraction that we've seen around the world, it's not a very frequent cause of earthquakes.
And Lake Mead behind Hoover Dam, did that settle down once the reservoir was filled for a while and the weight of all that water had a chance to settle in?
Yeah, that's right. The seismicity waned over a few years.
Mm-hmm. How about big buildings? I was reading some conjecture anyway on the Internet. Forgive me for going there. But but that some really tall buildings can also create enough weight to create some seismicity. Is that known, too?
I'm certainly not familiar with anything about that. And the weight of an individual building as opposed to a reservoir is frankly inconsequential. So I wouldn't expect that buildings would be causing any significant earthquake.
Okay. I stand duly corrected. Thanks for that. Dr. Justin Rubenstein has been our guest on The Exchange. He's the deputy chief of the Induced Seismicity Project at the U.S. Geological Survey in Menlo Park, California. He'll be at the Hale Center for the Performing Arts at Southwestern Oregon Community College this Friday evening at 7 for the geology lecture. His is titled, Yes, Humans Really Are Causing Earthquakes, and there is an exclamation point at the end of it. Dr. Rubenstein, fascinating stuff. Thanks for joining us today.